All right. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read our text, and we're going to be looking at the subject this morning, renewing your mind. We talked about mortifying the flesh the last couple of, actually the last three Sundays. I'm thankful Justin gave his take on that theme when I was gone a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to look at the other side of that truth this morning. In Ephesians 4:22, it says that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, in verse 22, we've already talked about that. That's the aspect of putting off the old man is putting off the flesh. Mortifying the flesh. That's what he's talking about. And, you know, we talked about different aspects of that. Putting off the flesh is don't feed the flesh. Don't feed it. I mean, we have to take an active part in this. We can't just expect to grow as a Christian. We can't expect just to become like Christ just because we're saved. We have to, on our part, we have to put off the flesh. We have to stop making provision for the flesh. We have to mortify it, which means put it to death. And so that's what verse 22 is about. But that's not all that we have to do. That's not our only responsibility. But he says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so this is what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at what it means to renew your mind. And I want to just by way of review, we've talked about in this series that our greatest problem as Christians is a desire to go our own way. That's our problem. We desire to go our way, not God's way. We want to live our lives independent of God. And so what is the solution to that? Well, we should be convinced by now as Christians that the solution, it does not rest within us because we are the problem. I mean, we have the flesh in us and we have that desire to please the flesh rather than please God. And so the answer is found in the Lord. It's found in cultivating a close, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. That's the answer. That's how we are going to overcome our greatest problem. You know, as I've said, it's important that we, as part of that growing process, stop feeding the flesh, mortifying the flesh. That's important. But we must also learn how to feed our spirit. And that's what renewing your mind is about, feeding our spirit, sowing to the spirit. You know, the Bible says in Galatians that don't sow to the flesh, but sow to the spirit. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what he tells us in Galatians. And we do this by meditating. The renewing of the mind is through meditating in the Word of God. And that's how that we start replacing our thinking with truth. Because listen, the devil is very clever. He's going to do everything he can to put wrong thoughts in our minds. He's going to do everything he can to get us to believe lies. Lies about God, lies about life. I mean, you name it. He's going to deceive us. He will deceive us if we don't renew our minds with truth. And I just wonder how many lies we're believing this morning. I'm just wondering if how many Christians today are living in defeat because of lies of the devil that they're believing. You can see how important this is. I mean, it's yes, we have to stop feeding the flesh, That means stop putting things into our mind that's not good for us to dwell on or to think on. But we can't just leave our minds empty. I mean, you don't just put bad things out. You've got to put some good in. You've got to put in some truth. You've got to put in the Word of God. You know, renewing your mind is more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just memorizing Scripture, though that is part of it. But it also involves meditation in the Word, which I've been talking about, and I'll be preaching more on tonight about meditation. But meditation is like reflecting on what we've read, reflecting on the Scriptures that we're memorizing, thinking about them, you know, going over and over in our mind about these truths in the Word of God. You know, I believe that this renewing our mind involves drawing close to the Lord in a close relationship with Him. Because, you know, I want you to think about it. If we really are in love with the Lord, we're going to think about Him. We're going to be thinking about Him. Many of the problems we have in the flesh, let me just give you some examples, because I don't want it just be generalized, but many problems we have in the flesh, anger. We all can struggle with that one. Worry. We can all worry about tomorrow. We can worry about this problem or that problem. We can worry about our children, our grandchildren. We can worry about our finances. We can worry about our future. Fear. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, the Bible says. But we can allow fear to control our minds. We can allow anger to control our mind. Worry can take over. Guilt. Bitterness. Lust. Selfishness. You know, all these things can really get a victory in our lives, and those are the things we need to put off. In fact, in Ephesians 4, in verse 25 and following, he starts making those personal applications. Wherefore, putting away lying, but speak the truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. So you see, he says putting off the lying, but what do? We put on the speaking of truth. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So he is saying that we're to deal with that anger. Don't give place to the devil. And so you can see the applications he starts making to this. And I want you to know that the primary goal of our Christian life, as we've said, is to become more and more like Christ, to become Christ-like. That's what this whole series is about. You know, our goal in the Christian life is not to gain relief from our problems. Well, I want you to think about that. I don't even know. I want to just look up something really quick. We were looking at this song this morning. Me and some of the men were, before we prayed, we looked at this song, More Love to Thee. It's not, I was hoping. It is on 634. If you have the hymnal, I want you to look at this. I want to give you an example here. 634. Now, before we look at this, you know, more and more I'm not liking this hymn book. It only has three of the verses and not four. The one in the sanctuary has four, and the one that's missing here was the one I wanted to read. But I think I can remember some of it. But I want to just say just something very quickly about the woman that wrote this. Her name is Elizabeth Prentice. This woman, she lost two babies And I can't remember if it was through miscarriage or stillborn, but she lost two babies. She was going through pain and grief of loss of her children. And she wrote this. And the third verse that's not in here, you know what it said? It was saying something like this: Lord, send pain and grief so that I might have more love to thee. I was like, We don't look at things that way, do we? Yeah. But if you go into the sanctuary today for church, just pick up the blue hymnal and look on page 399. I remember that. It was on page 399, hymn number 399. And just read that third verse. Read what that lady said. You see, our goal in our Christian life is not, it's not comfort or relief from our troubles and pains, because you know what? It's the troubles and pains that bring us closer to Him. It's the troubles and pain that give more love to Him. If we respond correctly. Yes, we can go ahead and just get bitter. We can, instead of putting off the flesh, instead of renewing our mind, we can stay over here in anger and bitterness against God because things didn't go the way we expected, or we didn't get what we wanted from God. Maybe we wanted relief. Maybe we didn't want trouble or pain or grief or sorrow or whatever it is. But you know what? When we surrender to the Lord and we start putting off the things of the flesh, we start putting those bad things, bad thoughts out of our mind, and we start renewing our mind with truth from God or from the Word of God, truth about God, that He is good and that He loves us. We should not question that. He loves us. And when we start renewing our mind, then you know what? We're going to get the victory. We're going to draw closer to Him, and we're going to get to a point where we're going to see, okay, God, now I see why You sent that pain. Tim was sharing a thought this morning in that time of devotion and prayer this morning. He shared it. Obedience now, understanding later. And, you know, we obey God now. It may not make any sense at all, but we obey God. We trust God. We'll understand later. Sometimes the later is not in this life. Sometimes the later is going to be heaven. But we just have to trust Him. We just have to walk with Him and trust the Lord. So I just want you to know that the Christian life is more than about getting relief from our problems. Though God will do that. Though God will comfort. Though God will give peace and joy and blessing. But that's not the goal of the Christian life. The goal of the Christian life is more love to Thee, O Christ. The goal of the Christian life is to become more like Christ. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. I'm going to say something else that may shock you, but the Christian life is more than just being right with God. I mean, you know, being right with God, yeah, we need that. If we're going to be more like Christ, we need to be right with God. But that's not our goal in Christian life. It's to be like Jesus. You know, here in Ephesians, I'm not going to read it, but in chapter 5 and beginning in verse 22 to the end of that chapter, he talks about marriage. He talks about how that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And so he gives some instructions to husbands and wives based on the relationship Christ has with the church. And so he makes a comparison. And so using that comparison, how that marriage pictures our relationship with Christ, I want you to think about the marriage relationship. It's more than just living in the same house together. It's more than just having a marriage certificate. Do you know what real marriage, the goal of real marriage? If you read that passage and you read Genesis chapter 2, it's to become one flesh. That intimacy, that closeness. And he said, what therefore God had joined together, let all men put asunder. And that means that it's to stay one flesh. Two lives coming together in such close intimacy that they're to be one flesh. And so I want you to think about marriage, picturing our relationship with Christ. We're to be one flesh with Christ, so to speak. We're to be close and intimate with Christ. That's what I mean by it's not, our goal is not just to be right. Because some people, they can be right with God, but their heart cold toward God. You can have all the right doctrine, like the Church of Ephesus, but you can leave your first love. What I'm trying to emphasize is that we need that close intimacy with Christ, because if we don't have that, then we're not going to become more and more like Christ. You know, you think about a personal relationship with God includes some of the same basic elements of marriage. You know, marriage is about learning. Learning about one another. When a young couple first gets married, there's a lot of learning, isn't it? You think of these newborn couples, that first year is pretty critical. I mean, especially after the honeymoon's over, and it's pretty critical because they start learning some things about each other. But when we are saved and we come in relationship with God through Christ, it's about learning. It's about getting to know Christ. As newborn babes, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it's, you see the similarity between marriage and our relationship with God. We learn more about Him. How? Through study of the word. We learn it in church. Through preaching and teaching. But you know what? I think we learn it best in our personal meditation in the Scripture, where we are personally taking the truth and renewing our mind with truth. We're putting off the flesh. We're putting off the old man. We're putting off those old thoughts. And we're renewing our minds with truth. We're putting in truth. And we're thinking and meditating on God. We're thinking and meditating on scriptural truth. And in marriage, you know, it begins by learning about one another. To continue on in marriage, you have to take time with one another to talk and interact. And that's why a lot of marriages are failing, because they don't do that. They don't get to know each other in a close, intimate way. They don't talk and interact because things come up and maybe they're not talking or they're not. But you have to intentionally... You have to intentionally grow close to each other, becoming one flesh. Well, same way is true in the Christian life. We don't just get close to Jesus by going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's part of it, but that's not enough. We have to personally spend time with God. We have to personally interact with Him. We have to personally spend some time praying and talking to the Lord and letting Him speak to us through His Word. That's how we get close to God. So we have to do our part. And you know, as you in marriage, as you continue this personal interaction, growing deeper in love for one another, same happens in our relationship with the Lord. As we get closer to God, as we spending time in His Word, we draw closer, our love grows deeper for the Lord. We learn to depend on Him more. And just like in marriage, you have to forsake all others. You know, we make that vow when you are at the marriage altar and you pray or you say your vow, you know, you're going to forsake all others. And we have to practice that through marriage. We have to say, okay, I'm forsaking all others, you know. I'm keeping myself only for my wife, and my affection is going to be for her. My love is for her only and not any other woman. It's my wife. The same is true in our relationship with God. We have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to forsake all others. What's that other? Well, it could be your hobbies. It could, not to say you can't have a hobby. I mean, you can have a hobby. You can have things, but be careful that those earthly joys don't become your God. Amen. God has given us all things to enjoy in life, but those things are not to take the place of God. And the world, pleasure, and all those things, that can be the others that we need to forsake and keep our hearts for God alone. I wonder how many of us cheat on Jesus. I wonder how many cheat in marriage. See, we have to, just like in marriage, we have to be intentional. If we're going to grow close to the Lord, if we're going to become more like Him, we have to be intentional. As we look at this, renewing our minds, we still have got some time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I'm preaching a message tonight on meditation, so I hope you'll be here. I want to encourage you to be here tonight. Tonight's going to be very, very practical. I think it'll help you a lot. It's helped me. I'm not just preaching something that I learned in a Bible study. It's something that I'm learning in life. It's something that I'm learning in my own Christian life. This is really helping and changing my walk with God, so please be here tonight. But this is renewing your mind. Meditation is things that we think upon, reflect upon, and you know, when you're going back to the marriage, when you were in your early years of marriage, what occupied your mind? I'm sure it was your spouse. I know it was for me. When me and my wife started dating, all I could think about was her. Even when we first married, all I can think about was her. You know, we should think about the Lord a lot. We should think about Him a lot. We should think about what He says to us. I mean, the Bible. You know, some of us, I'm speaking from a man's standpoint, and you ladies are going to love me for saying this. A lot of times as men, we don't listen to our wives.
Amen.
We think, well, and I work, bring home the bread, I provide. Isn't that enough? I love you because I'm bringing all this in so you can eat and sleep, and I'm buying all these things for you. That's a man's mentality. And the wife wants to sit and talk and, wait, honey, I got to see this game. I got to see who's going to win. Just a minute, we'll talk later. Or you got the newspaper. Not now. We need to listen.
Amen.
Listen. And I guarantee you, when you were in that honeymoon stage, you were listening to every word they spoke. And I've shared this story before, but when I was in first went off to college, my wife was still here in Dumas, and we'd write letters. That was before phones, digital cell phones. The only way we could contact each other was through snail mail. There was no email. So I could not wait till 12 o'clock came, because I was dashing down to the first floor of the dormitory to check the mail. That was a favorite part of my day every day. And I'm telling you, I came home every weekend to be with her. That was before we was married. But she was smart. She would write a letter on Friday and put it in the mail. I'd see her on Saturday and Sunday, but on Monday, I had a letter. And she wrote letters nearly every day. I'd get one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it just made me that much more want to come home on Friday. But I guarantee you, when I had those letters, I was reading every word. And she would spray her perfume on those letters. I was not only reading, I was... You know, it may sound funny, but I mean, I thought a lot of her.
So who got your letter on Saturday?
So my application is this, that we should treat our Lord that same way. We, you know, just as we would listen to those that we were so in love with, we would listen to every word. What about the Lord? I mean, He has given us His word. He speaks to us right here. But yet, we don't listen. Amen. I mean, how often do we open this? How often do we look at it and say, Lord, I want You to speak to me today. I want to hear Your voice. I don't want to just read these black letters on these white pages. I want You to speak to me. And then what You speak to me about, I'm going to spend the rest of the day thinking about it. That's what meditation is. When God really just speaks to you, there's a verse that just really grabs a hold of you, and God gives you, you know, your attention is focused on, it may just be one word. It could be a phrase or a verse or even several verses. And you just think about it. You reflect on it throughout the day. That's how you renew your mind. You know, there's a verse, I think it was Psalm 16 this past week, that I was spending time meditation, and the first verse, preserve me, O God. And I was looking at that word preserve, and it has the idea of it says hedge about, guard, protect. Man, I spent a lot of time that week, and it talked about, for I would trust in You, and for You I would trust, Lord. And that word trust means I'm going to just lean on You. I'm going to take refuge in You. But that word preserve, the hedge, that really opened up a lot of thinking, meditation. So a lot of my prayers for the next couple of days, especially for my kids, for my wife, for my church family, for missionaries, you know what my prayer was? God, put a hedge. Put a hedge. Because Satan he wants to attack, he wants to destroy, he wants to deceive us, he wants to hurt us. And God, put a hedge. Put a hedge. So just that one word, just preserve. David was praying personally, preserve me, but as I meditate on it, I thought, I want to apply this to my petitions to God. God, preserve my son as he works at the prison today, because it's a very evil, wicked place. Guarding, protecting. not just his physical body, God, but guard, protect his mind, because of all the profanity and wickedness that these people holler out to the guards. God, protect his mind from that wickedness. That's how renewing our mind will help us in prayer. It will help us in our thoughts throughout the day. And so if you think about it, the reason why I threw in this today, threw in this marriage illustration and threw in this intimacy illustration, you say, what is intimacy? Where'd you get that in renewing your mind? I get it in this, is that as we grow close to the Lord and get real intimate with God, you're not going to have a hard time putting that stuff away. But if you just go through the motions, you're going to be really leaning on this side over here, having a struggle giving up these things of the flesh. I mean, I'm still in love with my wife. I work at it. I want to stay in love with my wife. Because if a woman gives me attention, I want to be able to just, like, no way. I mean, no matter how pretty she is or attractive, because I so much love my wife, that, no, that don't even look good. Same way, if we're so much in love with the Lord, that sin don't look very good. I don't want that because I don't want anything between me and the Savior. So you see the connection, the putting off, renewing the mind, and we'll talk about putting on Christ later. But behind all that and underneath all that is that relationship. That's where it's at. Relationship with the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together, for the challenge you've given us. Pray you'd use it and help us in our walk with you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.